Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, ni hao. In India, namaste. In Japan, konnichiwa. In Korea, annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, zdravstvuyte. In Germany, guten tag. In Poland, dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawbona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Grand Rising, and thank you for joining me this morning on Health and Well-Being. I'm Beata, and I have an amazing guest coming on this morning. Dr. Brian Artis is going to be joining us in just a little bit. I'm so excited because when I heard Dr. Brian in an interview, I thought, whoa, I got to have this guy on Health and Well-Being, because these days we cannot get enough truth, light, hope, experience, wisdom, all of those combined. And so Dr. Brian has all of that and more to share with us today. But as usual, I want to get right to our joint rolling, because I don't want to keep, I see Dr. Brian is in the waiting room. And so I'm so excited. And we're going to do, as we do every Friday morning, and maybe Dr. Brian will join us, we're going to do some joint rolling to loosen up this body and make sure the blood's flowing to the brain so we can hear well and understand, open up our minds. And I'm going to play our favorite music, Time for Healing. I'm going to go back to Time for Healing for our music this morning so we can really promote the healing today with Dr. Brian and our joint rolling. And this is about a 5-minute introduction or 5-minute joint rolling where we activate. We're not smoking this morning, but we are activating synovial fluid and getting our lymphatic system going and our blood circulation moving by rolling our wrists, ankle, knee, elbow, neck joint, and we'll come back here and get busy with some great conversation, great teaching, I want to say today, on Lyme disease for one. I have such an interest in Lyme disease because of two very close friends that I have who have suffered greatly, and it appears to me it's about the diagnosis more than anything. But I think Dr. Brian will shed some light on that. So let's get busy, do our joint rolling, get our body loosened up and ready to go. And I'm going to move my tablet. I'm going to start the music, and then I'm going to move my tablet down to my platform so we can get on the floor and roll these joints, and then we'll get back to the show. But let's get some Super Bowl. that under the arm. Get that gluteus, pat on those gluteus muscles. Give those kidneys some love. Patting all over. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Head, legs, pat on those legs. And we are ready to roll here. All right. Whew. Hope you're feeling energized and better and ready to absorb some wisdom and knowledge. So I'd like to open up my, bring in Dr. Brian Artis. Dr. Artis, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Really clear. We're rolling here this morning. Wow, it is such a pleasure to have you with me. How are you this morning? Where do you live, by the way?
I'm in Plano, Texas, just north of Dallas.
Oh, okay. Hot, hot, hot. Yeah.
It's very hot.
Yeah, we are enjoying this hot, hot, hot weather in Florida, too. So it is.
Yeah, you share the humidity with us.
Yeah. Someone said to me something about, wouldn't you like to move to Texas? I forget the conversation, and I thought, no, I think it's even hotter in Texas, and Florida is fine for me, but at least I got the beaches. Are you close? You're not close to any beaches, are you?
No, you got to go about 4 hours.
Oh, you poor thing. I love the beaches. I'm doing more and more videos on the beach, and I just, it's so healing for me with all that's going on. It's just so, such a healing place. And I just spend more and more time. So thank you so much. I know you're a busy, busy man. Is it right? You've got 8 children?
We do. My wife and I together have 8 kids. She's got 3. I have 5.
Wow. Bless you, my brother. It's like busy household most of the time, huh?
Yep. We've got 2. Well, we have 5 that have graduated high school. One's going off to college tomorrow. So that'll be exciting to move him into the dorms at Tarleton State University. He's very excited, but yeah, we've still got a bunch of kids. Yeah, very busy.
Oh, my goodness. So you are just the expert on managing all the lies and deception about mask wearing and all this hell, blah, 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 blah. So before we get into too much, if you don't mind, I don't know a whole lot about you, but if you want to just give us an introduction of, you know, maybe where you were from, how you grew up, your parents and all that, and then how you got into, the chiropractic field, right?
Yep.
Yeah, let's start there. I'll let you take over with an introduction.
Sure. So I was basically raised primarily in Georgia and South Carolina.
Oh.
I was born in 1976. I'm the oldest of 5 kids myself. I have 5 kids myself. When I was 21 years old, my youngest sibling, who her name is Stacy, she's 10 years younger than I am. Me being the older brother, I had just returned actually from a Mormon church mission, which is the church I was raised in, from 19 to 21. I was on that mission for that church. But when I got home from that mission, a few months later, my sister, Stacy, started complaining of joint pain in her hands. Remember, she's only 11 years old. It started out, she couldn't actually open the door to leave the house to go out to the school bus stop. And it just hurt her hands to do that. Then she couldn't, a couple days later, she couldn't close her hands to grab the shoelaces on her shoes to be able to tie her shoes. She couldn't open the bottles on a water bottle. And then within a 3-month period, she couldn't actually move any part of her body. Her entire body hurt. And we had to actually, me and my dad, help her get onto a stretcher, taken by ambulance to a hospital in Louisville, Texas, is where they were living then. Anyway, she spent 3 months in 3 different hospitals, and they couldn't figure out why every part of her body hurt.
Wow.
They just put her on a liquid diet for the first 2 visits for 2 months and then sent her home. All of her symptoms were still there. The 3rd hospital is called Scottish Rite Hospital, and they did a muscle biopsy a month into that visit and determined that she had an autoimmune disease and decided to tell me and my parents that she was diagnosed with systemic lupus erythematosus. And this was the moment that changed my whole life, actually, was when I heard the medical profession say this to my family. It was, unfortunately, this is a rare autoimmune disease. It doesn't occur in children very often. This would have been in 1997. And they said, just so you know, there is no known cause for lupus. There's no known cure for lupus. There's only these three treatment options for your daughter, my sister, which was prednisone, methotrexate, and Plaquenil. She's going to have to live on this for the rest of her life. Unfortunately, Mr. and Mrs. Artis, your daughter, Stacy, will have to be on these drugs for the rest of her life. They will ultimately take her life because they will destroy her kidney and her liver over time, wow. And she will most likely die before she's 40.
Wow.
And then they said she will no longer be able to be a mother of her own children. She will not give birth to her own children because the side effects of the drugs will cause birth defects or stillbirths. So at 11 years old, my parents are being told that their youngest child will never be her own mother to bear her own children, and she won't even live into her 40s. So my parents were devastated, and I didn't hear the same things my parents heard. My parents heard that she had a terminal illness and she was going to die.
Bingo.
And that is not what I heard. What I heard was, we don't know what's wrong with her. We're calling it lupus. We don't know what made her body hurt 3 months ago or start to hurt 6 months ago. And we don't know how to fix it. But our treatment options for her pain are going to kill her.
I have to interject this for a minute. Yesterday, our hosts were talking about, what do you do when you get a diagnosis of a terminal disease? And it just how happens our host is a death doula. And so it's so interesting that you said you did not hear what your parents heard because you are on a different mission. That is so important, but I'm going to let you continue. But I had to just remind our listeners that everybody's not hearing the same thing when a doctor says you have a terminal disease and you're going to die. Thank you, Dr. Brian. Please continue.
Yeah, so my parents were bawling, crying when the doctor walked out of the room, and I said,
yeah.
Why are y'all crying?
Yeah.
And they said, your sister's just been diagnosed with a terminal illness, Brian.
Oh, my goodness.
He was really mad at me, and I said, that's not what he said. That guy said, we don't know what's wrong with her. We don't know how to fix it. We're just going to give her these three drugs for the rest of her life because we don't know how to fix it.
Oh,
and these
drugs
are going to kill her and keep her from being able to bear children.
Wow.
And my response to my parents was, just because this medical profession doesn't know how to heal her or figure out what's wrong with her doesn't mean someone doesn't. I said, what if there's some other profession out there that can help us figure out why her body started hurting 6 months ago?
Right.
I said, and this is my promise to my parents that day. I said, just so you know, just because the medical profession can't figure it out, and if I can't find some other profession to do it, I'll do it. So at that point, I decided to become actually a medical doctor. That's what I wanted to do. I figured there must be somebody in the medical profession that could help me figure out what made my sister hurt.
Yeah.
Unbeknownst to me at that point, at 21 years old, I did not know that the medical profession does not seek out looking for what causes people to be sick. They're actually just... they literally are trained and educated to only mitigate symptoms with drugs, control symptoms with drugs. And when you can't figure out how to manage those symptoms with a drug, you cut that organ out. I mean, that's really all they do. Or they give you no hope at all and send you home.
Right.
So the paradigm of health within the medical profession is just horrific to me.
Yeah.
So it is true, though. They really do not know how to heal people. But when they say there is nothing you can do about it, they actually know there's nothing they can do about it. You should just listen to what they're saying, that they can't do it. So go somewhere else.
Yeah.
So I set off to become a medical doctor was the idea at 21 to go fix my sister. I spent the next 12 years.
Wow.
From 21 to 33. Literally going to chiropractic school, acupuncture school, becoming a clinical nutritionist, studying underneath seven different what I would call holistic type healers around the country to learn how do you actually figure out what causes symptoms in somebody. The symptoms, just so your audience is aware, when you have symptoms, The medical profession takes your symptoms, puts them into a category together, combines them together, then looks up for a name they can call that group of symptoms.
Yeah.
So I know you mentioned you want to talk about Lyme disease, which is great. But when you look underneath the microscope, you don't see Lyme's disease. There is no Lyme's running around in your body. There is no lupus running around in your bloodstream. It doesn't exist.
Right.
These are names we gave classifications of various symptoms.
Right.
So Lyme's disease looks a lot like fibromyalgia. It looks a lot like lupus. You have chronic overall body aches and pains, and they just, based on maybe slight differences you give in your history, maybe diagnostic testing that they do in your blood work, they'll come up with a name.
But they've come up with Lyme disease with a little tick and a bacteria to make convince people that it really is Lyme disease. What's your take on that part of it?
Oh, there's a lot of overdiagnosed Lyme disease where
yes.
It actually is not Lyme disease.
Yes.
But then there is actually real diseases where this bacteria called Borrelia,
yeah.
which has been found in ticks,
yeah.
can cause symptoms and disease in the body, right?
Right.
So that does really exist, but it's not really just from ticks. I'm blown away that we as a society here in America can accept the fact that there's this tick that's running around the entire country, various parts of the country where the ticks don't even exist, to be causing so many Lyme disease across the plains of Arizona. I mean, those ticks don't even live out there. So it's just so many Lyme disease cases in areas where these ticks don't exist, and the patients will tell you, I haven't been bitten by a tick. Most people know when they have a tick burrowed in their skin at some point, but it's amazing to me that there's so many people that are misdiagnosed for Lyme when it really wasn't that to begin with, but their symptoms really do exist. I do want to acknowledge that the people are suffering.
Yeah.
They're just not suffering with the correct diagnosis of what's causing their symptoms. And really, that's not what the medical profession is looking for anyway.
Right.
So I actually set out to figure out what was causing the symptoms in my sister. I actually did apply to go to med school before I went to chiropractic school, but I dropped my enrollment there when I realized the drug treatments that the medical profession uses to address health concerns, all of them. I knew my sister did not develop her pain because she was deficient in a drug. I knew the drug solutions the medical profession was using in my sister's behalf were what was going to kill her. So I just couldn't reconcile over the next 4 years where I was pre-med to go into med school. It never made sense to me, why are you going into this profession that's actually only using drugs? Their solutions were going to end my sister's life, make her not be able to have children. And to me, I knew that wasn't the answer to her healing. So I actually went off to chiropractic school instead.
And that was a voice from on high. Would you say a voice leading you away from that system into something more balanced and healthy?
Oh, yeah. Well, let me just share. If you got time, I'll share with you.
Oh, go ahead. We have plenty of time.
Moments.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I went off I got married and then went off to BYU in Utah. And while I was at BYU, in my pre-med program, I had my first son, and his name is Bryce. So Bryce was born, he's now 20, actually almost 21.
Wow.
But when Bryce was born, this is the first time I'm going to be a parent. So this baby is born, and he's born at the Provo Hospital. And when he's born, he comes out and he's got cuts on both of his ears and bruising on both sides of his head, and blood's pouring down his ears. And the OBGYN had used forceps and clamped them on his head so hard and pulled them out that it actually cut his
ears.
Oh,
my goodness.
And bruised the sides of his head. And I didn't know if this was normal or not. The whole scene's bloody anyway when you're giving natural birth.
Right.
So Bryce comes out. The nurses are cleaning him up. And then they took Bryce and they actually put Bryce on his mother's chest to breastfeed. They wanted to make sure he could suckle. So they put him onto the right breast, and when they put his head up onto his mama's breast, he started screaming, and the head nurse was training two other nurses. She was taking Bryce's head and forcing it onto the nipple, trying to get him to latch on, and he wouldn't. The more they pushed, the more he screamed. So after a few attempts to press his face there onto the breast and him not suckling, the nurse took him off, tried to console him because he was screaming. I mean, just, it was awful. You've heard a baby scream. You know what it's like. They took the baby, and then they took him and put him onto the left breast, and he went right to suckling. I mean, it was just automatic.
Wow.
And I'm watching this, and they let him do it for a few minutes, and then the head nurse took Bryce, pulled him off the left breast, and wanted to switch him around to make sure he would suckle on the right side. And when they did that, he went ballistic screaming.
Wow.
And the nurse was trying to force his head onto the breast to latch on, and he wouldn't do it. And I, the future coming medical doctor at this point, because this is all I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I'm in this hospital literally looking at the world I'm wanting to go into.
Yeah.
I'm looking at these people as my future colleagues all the time.
Oh, boy.
And I looked at that nurse and I said, why is he doing that? Why is my baby not latching onto one side and screaming, and why is he latching onto the other? And this head nurse looks at me and says, well, Mr. Artis, some babies are just born picky. And this, I couldn't even help it. As soon as she said this, as soon as the statement ended, I went just like this. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And she looks at me like this and then turns around and looks at the other two nurses. And I said it and I started laughing. And I said, oh, wait, you're actually serious? You actually believe that? And she goes, hey, doc, can we get some help here?
Oh, my.
Because she felt embarrassed in front of the two nurses she's training. So she looks down where the OBGYN, this old male, is stitching up where my wife at the time, she tore giving birth for
right.
episiotomy.
Right.
And she goes, doc, can we get some help here? And I looked down at him. He's down below at the end of the table. And he takes his mask off. He drops it down. He sits up and he goes, Mr. Artis, I have been in this hospital for over 40 years delivering babies. And there are some babies who are just born picky.
Mm.
And when he said that, there was this aha moment inside of me that happened. It was this automatic, oh, you guys don't know everything you think you do. I always had them on this pedestal, these medical doctors on this pedestal, that they were the greatest minds in science. And I just have to tell you and your audience, when these two medical professionals, in my opinion, professionals in health, looked at me and said, some babies are just born picky, the visual that comes up in my brain was, I'm very visual, these two people, these two academic intellects actually are saying that they believe that my baby's been in the womb for 9 months and has actually determined in his brain, made up his mind that before he comes out, he is a left boob nursing baby only. Don't you dare put me on the right side. Because when they took him out, they tried him on the right side and he wouldn't latch on at all. But when they took him to the left side, he was okay with that. Then they tried to get on the right. He went screaming. They really, in their brain, thought that I was going to accept this reality that they had. It was just the most ignorant to me. I could not believe that they said this. So this was my first aha moment. Like, wait a minute, you guys just are making up stuff. There's no way you possibly believe a baby in the womb has determined that he's a left boob baby, not a right boob baby. But I just want you to know, so this is my first aha moment that they don't know everything I thought they did. But for the next 4.5 months, my son didn't actually sleep one day for more than 15 minutes.
Wow.
And if he was going to sleep for that 15 minutes, you had to take him and brace him up against your body. And then when you would fall asleep and your arms would move and his head would move, he would actually start screaming again.
Mm.
He screamed the night and day for 4.5 months. He didn't have a single bowel movement on his own for the next 4.5 months either.
Mm.
I had to take ointment, put it on my little finger and stick it up his rear end and get him to poop out following my finger.
Mm.
He never once breastfed on the right side. It was only on the left side. He was colicky and would throw up everything.
Mm.
We took him to 9 different pediatricians trying to find out why he was so miserable. Why was he screaming all the time? Why couldn't he sleep on his own?
Mm.
Why couldn't he sleep when he laid him down?
Mm.
Why couldn't he have his own bowel movement? Why did he throw up everything he ate?
Mm.
And they kept just telling us that he's colicky. They did these barium radioactive dye studies where they trace radioactive substances you swallow through the entire digestive tract, and they do motion x-rays the whole time. This is what they were doing on my kid. All they gave my son was four different antibiotics from nine different pediatricians over a 4.5-month period. Now, I'm actually at BYU, just about ready to graduate, and I actually am playing football up there in intramural sports, and I separated my shoulder. And this trainer there at BYU sent me to this clinic in American Fork, Utah, on the way to Salt Lake, and said I needed to get some physical therapy on my shoulder. So I go there on a Wednesday, and I have my first appointment there, go through some PT work for an hour, then I leave, and I come back on a Friday. And when I'm at the back of this very large clinic in this room with this physical therapist, when I'm back there and he's working on my shoulder, he goes, excuse me, Mr. Artis, can I ask you a question? Within the first 5 minutes, can I ask you a question? Is that your son out there screaming in the lobby like that? And I said, how do you know that kid's with me? And he goes, you were here on Wednesday and there was a kid screaming like that the whole time you were here. And when you left, it left. And now you're back again on Friday and you walked in here and that baby's still screaming. Is that your kid? And I said, yeah, that's my kid. Can you please get him out of the lobby and bring him back here to this room? So I walked up to the front. I thought he just wanted to calm down the lobby and make it, you know, more serene. So I go up there. We bring the kid back. I thought he just wanted to bring the kid back there or to the back because he didn't want him up front making everybody uncomfortable. And I get in the room, and as soon as I bring him in the room, he goes, can you lay that kid down on the table, please? And I went, what are you doing? And he goes, oh, I'm going to find out what's wrong with your kid.
Wow.
He sounds like he's hurting. Like he's hurting.
Yeah, pain.
Said, he's hurting. Pain. So they keep telling us that he's colicky. Yeah, I'm on four antibiotics, blah, blah, blah. And he grabs my son's head, and he's feeling underneath his neck, and he goes, what did they use on your son, forceps or vacuum extraction? It's one or the other. And I said, how do you know that? And he goes, oh, the first vertebrae in his neck is the first bone in his neck is rotated out of alignment, and it's pressing on all the nerves that control his digestion, sleep, pain threshold, his ability to move his head. And the only way you do that is with forceps, typically pulling them out of the vaginal canal, birthing canal. And I said, they used forceps. In fact, they pinched so hard, they cut his ears, bruising on both sides of his head. And he has been screaming night and day ever since. He won't nurse on the right side. And this guy goes, can I fix it? Will you let me just fix this for him? He's just in pain. And I said, what's a physical therapist going to do to my kid? And he goes, I'm not a physical therapist. I'm a chiropractor. Now, this is the first time I've ever heard the word chiropractor in my life. And I said, I don't know what a chiropractor is. And he says, well, I'm more than just a physical therapist. I am trained to do physical therapy. But if you'll let me, I would like to fix your kid, get him out of pain. And I said, sure, whatever. He takes his hands underneath the skull and makes a real swift little move. You hear a pop, like when you pop your knuckles or something. And my son's eyes got huge as soon as he did it, and he went ballistic nuts screaming. Remember, he's 4.5 months old. I didn't know what this guy was doing. I picked my son up, and I looked at that guy, and I said, don't you ever touch my family again. And I walked out of the building because I thought he had hurt my kid because he was screaming even worse than he was before. It was kind of shocking to both of us. And anyway, we got in the car. We were driving back to our home in Provo, Utah, BYU. And within 5 minutes of being in the car, my son was screaming nonstop. But once I got onto the highway, his head dropped and he went silent immediately. And I thought he died. His mom thought he died. And I pulled over immediately to the emergency side of the road. And you have to understand here, for anybody who's been a parent, you'll do anything to try to get your kid to sleep. You'll put him in strollers. You'll take him on car rides. You'll put him on a dryer. You'll put him on a wall.
On a dryer, yep.
You'll run a vacuum. You'll do whatever you can to try to get this kid to sleep.
Right.
And nothing made this kid sleep. In fact, putting him in a car made it worse. We realized later why, but we didn't know this at this point. We thought he died. He literally was screaming at the top of his lungs and instantly stopped and his head dropped. So he pulled off on the side of the road on the highway, jumped in the back seat, and you could tell there was some light breathing through his nose and his chest was still breathing. But he was dead. I mean, he wasn't conscious at all. And so I flew home in the car, got home, as a part of the story, you didn't hear this, but 2 weeks earlier than this, he was put on the fourth antibiotic by a pediatrician, and while he was nursing, 5 minutes later, he went into a grand mal seizure as a reaction to the drug.
Wow.
And I called the medical doctor, pediatrician, and he told me on the phone, I was wanting to know, do I need to go to the emergency room? He's having a seizure. And they said, the doctor said to me on the phone, that drug would have never done that. It's something you did, Mr. Artist. Did you drop your baby or did you shake him? And I could not believe that he wouldn't tell me what I should do to help my kid. He just put the blame off on me. And I slammed that phone down, and these people were making me not trust them at all, these medical doctors. So that had happened. Now this kid, I think, is dead in the backseat. I fly home and I call that medical doctor, who is the last one who gave my son a seizure with an antibiotic. I called his office. He answers the phone, and I ask him, what do I do? Should I bring him to the hospital? Should I bring him to your clinic? He's not responsive. He's breathing, I think. And he's like, what did you do? I said, this chiropractor adjusted him. And he actually yelled at me that that was the worst thing I could have ever done. That chiropractor probably gave my son a stroke or killed him. And I slammed that phone down, and I could not believe he was blaming it on me again, that I did something wrong. I'm just trying to figure out how to get this kid to have any relief. And it wasn't even my idea for this guy to treat him. This guy asked me, could he do it, just out of having mercy on my life and my kid. Well, just so you know, I decided at that point I wouldn't trust them ever again. I wasn't calling that medical doctor ever again or any other medical doctor at that point. And we just put him in the crib for the first time in 4.5 months of living. He never once had ever laid down in a crib. We put him in the crib, and we went in there every 10 minutes to make sure that he was still breathing. And every 10 minutes for 8 hours, we went in there. After 8 hours, we walked in, and he was just laying there looking at the ceiling. Not crying, just laying there.
Wow.
We picked him up, so thankfully he's alive. He nurses on the left side. While nursing, he falls asleep again. He falls asleep for 5 hours. We put him back in the crib another 5 hours. He hadn't slept in the first 4.5 months of living. That was longer than 15 minutes.
Wow. Okay, Dr. Artis,
the second time we get him, he had a bowel movement in his diaper on his own for the first time. All of his colic disappeared. He slept every night after that. At this point is when I knew I could have more children, because it was driving me crazy. I didn't think I was fit for being a parent for the first 4.5 months. Anyway, one chiropractic adjustment changed my entire life.
Wow.
He was able to assess what was wrong with my kid, fix it in 1 to 2 minutes.
Okay, we're gonna take a break. We got to take a quick commercial break. That is amazing. I love that story. Oh, my goodness. And when we come back, let's get back to your sister's lupus, because I know you have a lot to share about how she got well and is even doing well today. But we'll be right back. After these messages. Wow.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
With a simple blood test and food plan, Susan Essentials will help your business, your family, and you eliminate toxins and create a step-by-step plan to nourish your mind, body, and spirit. Click here to learn more.
All right, we're back again. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited to hear this truth and your experience with the broken sick care system. And for those of you who just joined us, we're talking to Dr. Brian Artis, and we're really absorbing all his knowledge and wisdom. And, you know, this is such a spiritual description, what you just talked about, because it reminds me of the Celestine Prophecy that my friend and I talk about. I don't know if you've read that book or heard about it, how synchronicity helps us make decisions about our life. And, you know, it was just no accident that you had a child born with all these challenges. And it was no accident that you saw a physical therapist who did that work for you to show you the path that you need to be on. All of these challenges, and I'm just amazed that you and your wife survived all that time with no sleep, because that was like, I've had two boys, and I didn't have that experience, but I know what it's like to not get any sleep for a while because the baby is uncomfortable. So that's just amazing. So if you have a question or a comment for Dr. Artis, press 1 if you're in the studio. And if you're on Facebook and you have a comment, I will, I'll bring up my comments here. And if you have a comment posted on Facebook, I'll try and read it, or call in 515-605-9325. Because Dr. Brian is really sharing some very important information here about his journey and why he became a chiropractor and why he's doing what he's doing today. In this Twilight Zone experience we're having on Earth, we haven't even begun to talk about what Dr. Artis is doing to help us overcome this journey through the Twilight Zone, I call it, and to become more knowledgeable and to appreciate this vessel of the soul, I call it, and this human vessel more. My T-shirt, I have a T-shirt that says, thank you, body, because over the last year, that's where we have to go, is not to the government or the sick care system, but Dr. Artis is doing a great job of explaining this. We have a caller who's pressed 1. If it's okay with you, I don't want to keep my callers waiting. They might have a question for you. So I'm going to open up the mic and see if they have a question or a comment at this point. 321-368, your mic is open. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes. It's not really a question. It's a statement. I think that Dr. Arthur, you should let him continue with talking about the baby and then let him come in about his sister.
All right, sure.
He was going strong, and it was a lot of great it was powerful what he was saying.
Thank you. I think this is Mikael, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much for giving us that input. Okay, so Dr. Artis, one of our guests is saying there must be something more about the baby. Do you have more to add to that?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
This story is really has really resonated with a lot of people, so I appreciate you allowing me the time to share it, because I have actually served 17,000 patients myself over the last 20 years from 16 different countries. And I told that story for the first couple of years to every patient that came into my office so that they understood why it was I was in the position I was as a healer, not a medical doctor. So I appreciate the caller calling in, but I do want to make you very aware that after my son woke up from the 5-hour nap the second time, when he fell asleep nursing and went to sleep, when we woke him up the fifth time and he had a bowel movement in his diaper, we changed him, and then he went to nursing again. While he was nursing on the left side, he never in 4.5 months ever nursed on the right side. We tried it, but he would just go to screaming. We were told by the medical profession that this baby, some babies are just born picky, which was a flat-out lie. We actually took the baby. All of a sudden, it hit me. I was like, He's sleeping now on his own. He's having bowel movements on his own. I wonder if he'll nurse on the right side. So I told his mom, will you turn him around and see if he'll nurse on the right side? Now, this baby had been learning to suckle for 4.5 months, but never did it once on the right side. As soon as we turned him around, he latched on, and his mama screamed because it was so powerful when he went to suck on that side, and she had to pull him off. And all of a sudden, I realized we were given an excuse in a made-up, ignorant answer that the baby was just born picky. That was not true. It also is not true that this baby was colicky. No. He had pressure on the vagal nerve that controls digestion because the first vertebrae in his neck was actually out of alignment, traumatized by the medical doctors. Now, you have to see, this is what's unraveling for me. This medical profession had now injured my son with a protocol in a hospital. It had now wrecked our lives for 4.5 months. And then we were given excuses and drug therapies as the only options for fixing him, which were antibiotics. Those antibiotics had side effects of seizures. Immediately, within 2 minutes of giving him the drug, he went into a grand mal seizure. Then the medical profession blamed me that I dropped the baby because our drugs would have never done that. Oh, no, the drug did it because the baby was nursing. All he was doing was nursing after we gave him the drug, so in his mama's lap. So then they wanted to blame me. And the same thing had occurred with my sister. They said, we don't know what causes it. We don't know how to fix lupus. These are your only treatment options. These drugs will kill her over time, and they will not let her have babies. And this, for me, was the defining moment. When I realized that my son had been injured by the medical profession, my sister was going to be damaged and poisoned by the actual medical profession with drugs, just like, and they told us they're going to have side effects in my sister's life. Not only was that going to happen to her, it was going to happen, it was causing symptoms and trauma to my son with grand mal seizures. So immediately for me, I wanted to know, what did that chiropractor know that the medical doctors, 9 pediatricians, tons of, we had $40,000 worth of testing done in the first 4 months of that baby's life with no answers other than he's just colicky, he'll grow out of it. Or he's just born picky, right? Those are the only reasons, excuses we were given. This chiropractor was able to, in one minute, tell me what was wrong with my son. The second minute, he was able to fix it. And within 5 minutes, my son fell asleep in the car for the first time in his 4.5 months of his life.
Did you go back to that chiropractor and thank him?
I actually called him like 2 days later and apologized to him because I left the clinic and didn't even pay. I was so angry that he did that. I thought he hurt my kids. So.
Right.
I had to call back. I apologized to him. And this was my question to him. What medical school did you go to learn this chiropractic specialty? And he said, remember, I didn't know what chiropractic was. And he said, chiropractic's its own profession. They're not actually a medical school. I thought he had to go to a special medical school. Similar to like dermatology, a skin specialist in medicine, I thought chiropractic was just an extension of its own medical practice. He then taught me that there was actually about, I think at the time, 15 different chiropractic schools around the country. And I said, well, which one did you go to? And he said, it's in Dallas, Texas. And he actually that day put me on a phone call with Dr. Mancini, who was the president of then the Parker College of Chiropractic.
Wow.
And he sent me all of this material because I didn't know anything about chiropractic. He sent me the history videos of chiropractic, D.D. Palmer, B.J. Palmer, all this stuff. I was watching all these videos, and within 2 weeks, I dropped my enrollment at the University of Utah's med school and took off for chiropractic school because now I had, at least someone had been able to show me that even though the medical profession didn't have answers for a condition with my son, this other health profession did that I didn't even know existed. Maybe they have an answer for me to help me understand what happened to my sister. Remember, I'm only living to try to find out how I can fix my sister. And for the next 12 years, I spent every day trying to find out what was wrong with her. So if it wasn't for my son's experience, I wouldn't have been open to the idea that chiropractic is possible. It can heal people, obviously. I didn't think it was going to be the solution to my sister's problems, but at least maybe they have some other answers I can go look for. So that's why immediately when I got into chiropractic school, I ran across somebody who was living with fibromyalgia and just happened to say out loud, the only thing that's brought her relief was acupuncture. So immediately in my first semester of chiropractic school, I just wanted to know everything and anything that was possibly providing improvements to people's lives. So I signed up for the Dallas College of Oriental Medicine at the same time. So during the day, I was doing classes in chiropractic. On the weekends and in the evenings, I was doing Dallas College of Oriental Medicine to get my acupuncture license, to learn everything and anything I could about healing. When I graduated chiropractic school, I was a licensed chiropractor. I was a certified acupuncturist, and I took off to Tennessee and opened up a practice just outside the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. It was called the Artist Healing Center of the Smokies, and I actually spent the next 5 years there. During that period, I was traveling around the country too, learning from other doctors who had been in practice, who had successfully healed people of different diseases and conditions. And I would just attend their practices, shadow them, go to their seminars. And for the first 5 years in practice in Tennessee, I really truly was using patients to find out. They were my little guinea pigs to see, do the techniques I have learned and acquired, do they help me reverse autoimmune diseases? And the first 3 years I realized I wasn't reversing autoimmune diseases, but I was helping a lot of people with a lot of other symptoms, typically musculoskeletal or headaches, but I wasn't really curing people of autoimmune diseases. And so I had to go figure out how you do that. And a few of the doctors I'd ran into across the country during that period had introduced me to different techniques that they had used to reverse autoimmune diseases. And that's where I learned the techniques for analyzing what's the underlying causes for diseases. I did not learn this in chiropractic school. I learned this from doctors who were just as inquisitive, as intellectual, as researching as I was. Anyway, it was a fabulous ride. So fast forward 12 years after my sister was diagnosed, I sold my practice. I felt the actual inspiration one night in Tennessee. I had a thriving practice. And for 5 years, and I love the Smoky Mountains. Nowhere in America do I feel more at home than in the Smoky Mountains for some reason.
Wow.
My parents and family at this time were now living in Arizona. So all my siblings and my parents, I was the only one in Tennessee. But at this point, I had four children, had a home, had my practice for 5 years. And I had this inspiration one night, literally heard a voice say to me, move your family to Dallas and sell your practice. And it was very troubling for me. You know, it's not like everything God inspires us or hints at us to do we want to do. I didn't want to be anywhere but in the Smoky Mountains. This was like my dream come true. But I put the house on the market the next day. And just so you know, the economy in that area in 2008 and 9, do you remember the mortgage crisis?
Yeah.
This was in 2009. There hadn't been a house sold in my neighborhood in 3 years.
Wow.
I put my home on the market, and it sold in 24 hours.
Wow.
And the family from North Carolina said, we're going to pay cash at the offer you're asking.
Oh, my goodness.
We just have to be in. The stipulation is we have to be moved in 2 weeks. I was like, what? We took the offer, obviously. Then we had to go to Dallas to find out if we could find a home. And anyway, I set up a practice. I was very depressed about this inspiration to move to Dallas.
Yeah.
I did not like it.
I know.
I wasn't happy about it.
I know.
But I sold my practice. I followed the intuition or the inspiration. Sold the practice. I traveled back and forth for a year. Remember, I was in practice by myself. And
right.
I had thousands of patients. So I was flying home every Thursday night after getting done with practice, treating patients Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I would fly home to Dallas on Thursday night, fly back Sunday to start seeing patients every week for a year. I actually, at 6 months, decided to hire in a doctor that I could train to sell the practice to. And then a year later, I did that and went to Dallas. But I didn't want to work for a year in Dallas. I was depressed. It was very hard. A year later, opened up a practice in Frisco, Texas. And I just have to say, God knew what he was doing when he told me to go to Dallas. I set up a practice in Frisco, my own practice again. That practice, I'm just going to tell you, for 5 years, I had 1,700 patients in Tennessee that I by myself was taking care of and helping and reversing issues and diseases. It was fantastic. For 5 years, 1,700 patients. In the 10 years from 2009 to 2018, my practice in Frisco, we had 15,000 patients from 16 different countries.
Oh, my goodness.
It just boomed. And I don't know what the connection was to people in Dallas and worldwide. I don't know how message was so far because
divine.
I did not do any advertising.
Yeah.
All I did was tell my story. But when I got to Dallas about 6 months later, my sister, Stacy, this is the story. My sister, Stacy, calls me and says, I just got married. She's now 22. I just got married, and I've been having dreams that me and my husband are having children. So she got on her knees after having these visions she thought she was having. She got on her hands and knees and prayed to God and wanted to know, are these just wishes of mine? Because she made her husband aware that she was never going to have children. But she felt the inspiration and had these visions. She prayed to God to know, is it really true that me and my husband can have children of our own? And this is no joke what she heard. Yes, you will have your own children. Your brother's ready to fix you. Move your family to Dallas, you and your husband. So she moved to Dallas. Then she told my parents she was coming there because she wanted to be closer to my parents. They had moved to Dallas by then, right after I did. And she moves to Dallas. My dad was furious that my sister moved to Dallas. My parents had been forbidding her to talk to me for like 12 years. They thought I was giving her false hope. They believed the medical doctors when they said there was no cure for lupus. Five different rheumatologists had been treating my sister. My dad actually came to my house in Dallas, grabbed me by my shirt, and punched me in the chest and said, don't you dare tell your sister that you can help her. There's nothing you can do, Brian. The greatest minds in medicine have said there's nothing you can do.
And wow. Said, oh, my goodness.
They told me not to give her false hope, and I said, what hope has the medical profession given her?
Wow.
So any hope is better than none, and she's a grown adult now. She can make her own decisions.
Wow.
So I actually told my sister when she came to me and said, this is what has happened. This is why I'm here in Dallas. I said, good, you're going to be my office manager where I can oversee you every day, and I'm going to treat you every day, evaluate you every day until you're fixed. I just want you to know she had systemic lupus erythematosus for 12 years, been treated with these three drugs for 12 years. By year seven, she was diagnosed with celiac disease, and she was told she could never eat gluten again. They were told the lupus was now attacking her intestines to make her be intolerant to gluten. That was a flat-out lie. It's the same lie that I was told that some babies are just born picky. Nope, this was a flat-out lie. Lupus was not attacking her gut, but they told her that. And for the next 5 years, she was living with this symptom. She was diagnosed with celiac disease 7 years after starting treatment, 9 years after starting treatment, which was 2 years after the celiac diagnosis. She was diagnosed with pulmonary tuberculosis.
Oh, my goodness.
And for 2 years, she breathed like this. Couldn't take any deep breaths because there was so much pain in her chest if her chest expanded. And they told her and my parents that this pulmonary tuberculosis was a result of lupus now attacking her lungs and her rib cage, which was not true. This is another flat-out lie. Just so you know, you can look it up. Prednisone over time, if you take it for any length of time, causes celiac disease. Pulmonary tuberculosis is caused by methotrexate. That's a side effect of Plaquenil and methotrexate. But they were telling her these are side effects of lupus. No, it wasn't. This is drug poisoning for 7 to 9 years. But she was having these issues for years by the time she showed up in my office. I just want your practice or your audience to know it took me 2 months to get rid of the 12 years of suffering my sister went through with lupus. My sister had, based on our initial evaluation, within 5 minutes I knew what was wrong with her. But I was not allowed to treat her or evaluate her by my parents forbidding it. For 12 years, but she actually had inside of her spleen, which is an organ just below your rib cage on your left side, it's right by your pancreas. The spleen's the largest lymph node in your body, and my sister had microscopic parasites called protozoa, I'm sorry, called flukes living in her spleen. She had contracted these when she was 11, and when the lymph node called the spleen started swelling as a reaction of producing lymph to try to drain out the parasite, all the other lymph nodes in her body also swelled, and they're all attached. Your lymph system is attached to your joints. This is why all of her joints started hurting and she couldn't move. If you want to know what a lupus patient feels like every day, if you've ever had the flu, There's the day 3, 4, and 5 of the flu where every joint in your body hurts. It hurts to the touch. You don't want to move. You don't want to even have clothes on because everything hurts. This is what a lupus patient feels like every day. It's what a fibromyalgia patient feels like every day. But different in the case of the flu, the body's lymph nodes are able to remove the virus called influenza out of your body by moving the virus through your lymph nodes and your joints to your kidneys and your liver to pee it out and poop it out or sweat it out. In the case of the lupus and the fibromyalgia patient, the infection is still in their lymph system and their body is not able to excrete it. So the lymph nodes constantly stay swollen and your body feels like day 3, 4, and 5 of the flu every day for the rest of your life. It took 2 months to get rid of all the parasites out of her lymph system, which was in her spleen, 2 months using Chinese herbs. At the end of 2 months, all of her, this is no joke, within 2 months, all of her celiac disease disappeared. I wasn't even treating that. I was just getting rid of the parasites. Within 2 months, her pulmonary tuberculosis disappeared and her breathing all returned back to normal. And at the same time I was treating the parasites, I left her on her 3 drugs that she was being treated with because they were mitigating symptoms to some degree. But after the parasites were all killed off in 2 months, we spent the next 3 months lowering her doses of her 3 drugs until we could safely get her off of them. And at the end of those 3 months, every symptom she had dealt with for the last 12 and a half years were gone. Now, the drugs had created problems for her. I don't know if you know this, but every fat cell in your body absorbs every drug you've ever been on. So the threat was to my sister, you're going to be on these drugs, but the drugs have side effects, Stacy, of causing birth defects and stillbirths. So you have these fat cells in your body. She was on prednisone. If you've ever met somebody who's lived on prednisone for years, they eventually will put on a bunch of fat cells. Now, the fat cells absorb the drugs. So I knew I was able to stop her on her drugs 3 months after getting rid of the parasites. Now I had to detox all of her fat cells before I told her she could get pregnant. And I asked my sister, will you let me detox you for 1 year, a year, 12 years worth of drug overdosing her, drug treatments on her. Can you let me give me 1 year and let me detox as much of these drugs out of your fat cells as possible? And then you can get pregnant. So we did this for 12 months. Now, the reason why I did this, this may make sense with your audience. When you get pregnant, your body releases a hormone called HCG.
Yeah.
And HCG is even a common diet recommendation, right? They'll give you doses of HCG hormone.
Mm-hmm.
When you release a lot of HCG hormone, your fat cells shrink. And when they shrink, they squeeze out everything that's inside those fat cells, which is why HCG diets work. This hormone makes your fat cells squeeze all the water out of it and all the toxins out of them. It just shrinks them. It doesn't get rid of them. It just shrinks them. So then you actually appear and lose weight, water weight, really. I knew that when she got pregnant, she would release this HCG hormone. And then I knew the fat cells were going to squeeze out all the 3 drugs she's had in her body for the last 12 years. And if she was pregnant, they would have the same detrimental side effects to the baby in the womb, birth defects, stillbirth. So I asked her, can you please let me detox you for 1 year? That was in February of 2010. So February 2010 to February 2011, we detoxed her. In February of 2011, she got pregnant. And 9 months later, she gave birth to her first fully healthy baby, Brooklyn. And I'm so excited to say that since 2011 till 2020, she's had 4 children. All of them are completely healthy. And she's a mother of her own 4 kids, has not been on those drugs for over 10 years.
Wow.
And could not even identify that lupus even existed in her body anymore.
Oh my goodness.
She never had lupus. This is the message. She never had lupus. What she had was an infection in her spleen of parasites that the medical profession does not look for. So just like I was lied to by the medical profession that some babies are just born picky, when in reality, we jacked up his neck with forceps and we've damaged cranial nerves that control digestion and sleep with our forceps and our protocols. The same issue was we were lied to. She did not have lupus. The truth is the medical doctors didn't know they were lying. They were honest when they said, we don't know what causes it. We don't know how to fix it. But these are our only drug treatment options. They really don't know. They're not taught how to heal people. They're not taught how to fix things. They're only taught how to cut things out or drug them.
Okay, Dr. Brian.
That's the story. That's why I do what I do. And when it comes to Lyme's disease, I'll just tell you now. When it comes to Lyme's disease, which I know you wanted to touch on, I don't know if you know this, 40%, it's already proven, 40% of all Lyme's patients have parasites in their body called Cryptosporidium. Cryptosporidium. This parasite, when you get it into your body, it comes from contaminated water, from fecal matter in water, from both animals and humans. There's already been in the ABC News, there's been multiple public pools shut down because there's tons of this parasites in the water. And we swim in recreational pools, we take showers, baths, we go swimming in lakes, rivers, streams. This is where these parasite eggs live. And as we get them into our body, these parasites have inside of them, it's already proven, 40% of all Lyme's patients have parasites that
okay.
are excreting the Borrelia bacteria causing Lyme's disease symptoms.
You mean it didn't come from the tick?
It didn't come from the tick. This is why you get patients with symptoms in Arizona where these ticks don't live. It's why you have them out in Seattle where those ticks don't live.
Wow.
This actual, if you want to call it, this small pandemic of Lyme disease, I mean, there's millions of people diagnosed with this all the time. You actually get it from contaminated water. And if you don't believe me that this parasite is a problem, just go to the CDC.gov. Look it up. They actually tell you how people get this highly infectious parasite.
Okay.
But they never actually tell you that that parasite carries the Lyme disease bacteria.
Okay, so Dr. Brian, you just continue to blow our minds. And I've got to take another break. But I just want to throw this out there. You know, through this pandemic, I have been telling people this is about parasites. Because for two reasons, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, these are parasites. I was like, at some point, I'm like, ding, 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 ding. Why are people getting better using hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, that which all they do is kill parasites? I'm like, something's, I think all those people who died last year of so-called COVID were just full of parasites, in my opinion. But we'll get back to that because you have really opened a can of worms, and we got a caller in Arizona. I know she has a lot of questions for you. You're just blowing my mind because these are just confirmations from the cosmos, the universe, the creator that many of us are already aware of, and we're just getting it. It's being suppressed and compressed and all that. And this is the truth that people need to know about so we can not go into Plandemic Part 2. Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited. But we'll be right back after these messages. For those of you in the studio, if you have a question, press 1 and we'll open up your mic. We'll be right back.
Oh, man. God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Do you worry about finances, family, health? Job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul, whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships for introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
For joining us this morning. We're here with Dr. Brian Artis, who's just blowing our minds with so much truth and wisdom and knowledge that we just don't get on mainstream media. And you are just such a blessing for me to confirm so many things that I have learned in my journey. I mean, I'm 66 years old, and I've had so much information come to me about what you've been saying, but you know, sometimes people just don't believe it if you don't have an MD after your name. But thankfully, I have a lot of friends and family who do listen to me, and they know from what I've shared with them, they've experienced, they're experiencing it. So I'm going to open up the mic. We have another caller, and I'm sure she has some questions and wants to share a little bit about what she's going through. But I'm just so grateful that you brought up the parasite issue. I have had two very close friends, Dr. Brian, with Lyme, who were diagnosed with Lyme disease. One of them right now can't even get out of bed because she was treated with antibiotics for a year, and she was put on steroids, and she's had a long, long battle trying to get off the steroids, and a doctor in Panama is treating her with turpentine to get rid of the parasites. I don't know if ask you about your experience with turpentine. I had never heard of turpentine, but I realize it's a pine tree fluid and all that. So it is therapeutic. But she's been on turpentine to keep the parasites and sugar medicine, keep the parasites. I'd really like to get your feedback on that because I'm thinking, how long do you have to stay on turpentine? She's been on it for a while and doing enemas every day for a long time. And then another friend who had diagnosed with Lyme disease, she's had a very long, painful journey as well, which included surgery on her body that has left her somewhat disabled. So we're going to talk about that a little more after we let this caller in, 336-350. I think that's Mama AZ, who's in Arizona. She's going through quite a challenge because she had hip surgery years ago, and the titanium was floating around in her body, and now she's been on antibiotics after they got the titanium. Anyway, Mama AZ, your mic is open. Do you have a question or comment for Dr. Brian?
Grand rising, Dr. Brian. Nice to have you on this energy day of 8. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very grateful to be on this side of the dirt at this particular time on the planet. Now, the brother, Mikael, that spoke up, let's hear the baby. Let's hear about the baby. That was very intuitive, my brother, because that child, I'm curious, doctor, of the life path of when your son was born. Because it is the Celestine prophecies and a whole lot more And for those who do not know about the Celestine prophecies, go up on the contraption, meaning the computer, and investigate it, James Redfield. But what my point is, that child is special. I didn't quite hear because nurses, people are coming in and out. But when did he come to the planet? If you don't mind sharing that, because it's like he has an agreement to come to you guys, to teach you, to keep you on your square, meaning to keep you on this path of investigation and learning and knowledges. And I'm just, God, this is really interesting. So what is your son's name?
His name is Bryce, B-R-Y-C-E.
Okay, that has an energy to it too. And then when did your son come to the planet?
He was born February 7th, 2001.
Okay, 2001. So that's three. That's a three right there. If you add up all of those digits, what does it come to?
A three.
That's right. Why? Threes, like, why? They need to know. Why is this? And because of the issues that he agreed to in your family to come to teach you, this is brilliant. And you have to pay, family, you have to pay attention to this. There are other people, and I don't want to hog this, but this is so exciting. And for Brother Mikael to pick up on that, too, about the baby, oh, man, you really must look into his name. You look into his energy path or his life path, which is a three, and even factor in the time that he came to the planet. So what did you learn? Can you share? Why did he not want to go to one breast and he chose the other? I couldn't quite get that clarity. Can you share that? Why, from your observation, why did he not want to use the other breast
I'm just throwing this out there, and Dr. Brian, it sounds like the way his head was positioned on either breast may have had something to do with it. What was your take on that?
So when he was born, the trauma from the forceps, and I can only speak from this, there was some physical trauma to the very first bone in his neck that the skull sits on top of. It was very obvious. He couldn't turn his head to the left without screaming. Head to the left to breastfeed on the left, he would just start screaming.
Right.
And it was pressing on the nerves even further.
Right.
That was out of alignment. There's 10 suboccipital muscles that connect the skull to the first bone in his neck, and all of those were traumatized by the forceps.
Right.
So once you rotate the atlas with that chiropractic adjustment, once they rotated it back in position, it took all the pressure off of the base of his cerebellum, off of the muscles at the base of his skull, and the nerves called the vagal nerve that controls digestion, respiration, and that's why he was throwing up everything, couldn't have a bowel movement. The moment you took the pressure off of those cranial nerves, immediately, within 5 minutes, his whole body relaxed, and it couldn't for the first 4.5 months of his life. So the trauma from the forceps, it was so traumatic, actually, and so obvious from the chiropractic adjustment, which freed up some of that life force you keep talking about. When that happened, the brain could communicate normally with the rest of his body, and everything functioned normally. From that point on, I had 4 more children. I actually made every single OBGYN sign a contract before I hired them that they wouldn't touch my son's head at all during the birthing process. It didn't matter what they thought. They had to just watch it until a shoulder, that they could reach up underneath and grab through his underneath his arm. They had to wait for the shadow to come out and then pull him out through the armpit or using the armpit as leverage.
Did you have any home births with those children?
We had birthing center births for the last two, which was water births, and their mama was not confident doing it at home. They wanted to have birthing centers where nurses had rides to the hospitals if needed.
Sure.
But yeah, there was that was the trauma.
Okay, I have a quick
breastfeed, but if he turned on and he could rotate his head to the right.
Yeah.
He could do that without any pain.
I thought about that right away after you said he had a trauma to his stomach. Oh. You had another question, sister?
Yes, thank you so much, Dr. Reed. You said vagal nerve. Is that the vagus nerve?
Is that the same as the vagus?
The vagus or vagal nerve.
Right. Which we talk about a lot.
Okay, all right. Well, this is great. And I believe that in my delivery, the forceps pulled how I came out of my mom's gate, pulled my joints out of socket. I feel that in my intuition, you know, but that's another time and another story. I thank us, and I'm going to listen so I can roll out to my tree, my California pepper tree family, and thank us.
Explain some of your hip problems. Do you think could that affect when the forceps are used in birth? Could it also affect future bone structure, hip problems in a person, Dr. Brian?
It possibly could. I don't know if you've heard of craniosacral work, but there's a lot of trauma that occurs to the cranial skull bones. When you come through the vaginal canal, there's this blowout as soon as you come out of the birth canal that sets the circadian rhythm, the pulse of the cranial bones for pumping cerebral spinal fluid through your body. And there's a direct connection to all the fascia that surrounds all your ligaments and joints in your entire body to that circadian rhythm and cranial blowout that you experience when you're vaginally born.
Right.
And that's why I didn't allow anybody to touch my kid's head after the forceps initial trauma. You're not touching him until he comes out and then his shoulders are out and you're going to actually help him out. So I actually, in chiropractic school, decided to become certified in pediatric chiropractic, and I actually birthed myself all four of the remaining kids. We had nurse practitioners, we had dual in the room, we had chiropractors in the room, but I actually did the entire birth for all the remaining four.
You go with your bad self, doctor. Thank us. You've just given me another avenue to investigate. My doctor, I'd like for you to look this up, doctor, is Jens Goodman, G-E-N-S, as in Sam, Jens Goodman. He's out of Banner University here in Tucson, and you're in Texas, right?
Yes.
Okay. After the reasoning that we had yesterday, and by the way, family, I'm having surgery on the 22nd of September, which that's the day that my mom made her transition to the other side, and he happened to be available. Doctor, I would love for you and Dr. Goodman to have a reasoning together, because I definitely want to go back to chiropractic anyway that I can in a good way. And he's somebody that I would love for you to have a reasoning with. Can we make that happen, Dr. V, you think?
It's up to Dr. Brian. We can certainly put that out there. Jim Goodman is a world-renowned neurosurgeon, right, Mom AZ?
According to what everybody is saying on the contraption, I don't have a contraption where I can research like you guys have, but man, according
to
what...
Very impressive, and she, Mom AZ, had hip replacement surgery that went very bad. The titanium broke loose, floated around in her body for eons. I've been known this woman for about 10 years now or so, And she's been suffering with this titanium in her body. Well, Dr. Goodman shows up this year. He removed the titanium. So she's in a rehabilitation center and was on antibiotics, massive antibiotics for the last, what, 2-3 weeks? How long were you on antibiotics?
2 months and a half, and on the 28th of last month, I said, "The hell with y'all. You ain't pumping me anymore, and the CDC could do whatever they want to do. I don't care. This stuff is making me crazy, and I'm still purging it from my body." And I miss North Carolina and Dr. James Watkins, who was my chiropractor for almost 30 years, family. And he could make me see. When I got an adjustment from Dr. Watkins, I could see, you know. So it's something to that. And I'm not sure of how this rolls with what I got to get done now in chiropractic care. But Dr. Bryant, if I can get just the upper body, my neck adjusted, you know, that helps. I may not be able to do the thing with my hip, but the upper body and the other parts are valuable, are vital to get adjustments, you know, because I'm lucky to be walking. When I did, because just a millimeter more, I fractured my spine in 04 in North Carolina. And my doctor said, "Girl, if you walk in here with one more thing, I'm excommunicating you from this planet, because you just, I don't know what to say about you, Robbie. You have to be careful, you know, because when you fall, stuff happens." And I don't know how you get through this, but the universe is looking out for you. But bottom line, I want to know, Dr. Bryant, if you can connect with Dr. Goodman, because we have something here. We have the opportunity, family, to re-educate people on this planet. And I'll be quiet and listen.
Thank you, Mama AZ. Dr. Bryant, because I looked up Dr. Jens Goodman. This man is brilliant neurosurgeon. And I told her, "You're a Christmas present," because what neurosurgeon wouldn't like to go in and take out titanium and then figure out how we're going to put this woman back together? And he spent time in, I think, the Iraq War with soldiers, putting them back together. This guy is amazing. His website is amazing. I said, "Wow, you were blessed to get someone like this at this period of your life where you've been suffering from a hip replacement gone really bad." And so now what I want to ask you about is antibiotics. There was no choice in the antibiotic treatment initially, because that titanium, what I saw, and correct me if I'm wrong, was that titanium encouraged certain bacteria to grow in her body just to help her survive. You know, I'm sure you know about the microbiome system. And if you got titanium floating around, then your microbiome is going to send certain bacteria just to help you survive. And so that's what I saw happening, is that, so now they put her on antibiotics, because after they did all the blood tests and discovered, well, you got all this bacteria in here and you need antibiotics. So what do you suggest when someone's trying to overcome something like that? Is there something they can do to stay off the antibiotics, or what's your thoughts on that?
So antibiotics are typically always a part of any surgical procedures also, right? If they opened her up to remove titanium or any artifact at all, when you do that, when you expose it to the air, it's just common protocol for surgeons to actually put you on antibiotics. That's just a prophylactic, preventative type measure.
Right.
But antibiotics, if you're using them longer than 48 hours, they're going to create a problem. They're killing off all healthy bacteria, bad bacteria. They're killing off tons of stuff in the gut. So you want to be able to restore back the microbiome, which is the gut lining where the bacteria are supposed to live, that break down your food and extract the nutrients from the foods they break down. Well, if you use antibiotics and it wipes all that out, it allows parasites to thrive where bacteria is supposed to live. Now there's open canvas for parasites to thrive. This is also why when you use antibiotics, you see an overabundance of candida or yeast overgrowth in the intestines. That is one of the tall-tale issues with the use of antibiotics or the overuse of them. So the goal then is always, you've heard the term whole foods, like the retail store whole foods. Foods by nature, raw foods, have inside of them what are called probiotics or digestive enzymes. You're supposed to get those bacteria out of the food. So you need to be consuming cruciferous vegetables, primarily those that are considered certified organic if you can. They have less chemicals in them that are damaging to your microbiome. So certified organic is the designation you want. Cruciferous vegetables and fruits, plants provide those digestive enzymes back into your gut and healthy flora into your gut. So you need to be eating those. And then, of course, you can be supplementing digestive enzymes also and healthy probiotics. You need to be doing some of that for the next 2 to 3 months easily to try to replace what the antibiotics have wiped out.
Right. Okay. Thank you, sir. And let me say thank you, Mama AZ, and all the blessings and love to you for your journey, that difficult journey you're on. We got another caller, 773-221. Mike is open. Go ahead. We have Dr. Brian in the house. You have a question or comment?
Yes, Dr. Artis, what is your email address? I'd like to forward you something I wrote to a member of the Universal House of Justice yesterday as it relates to the Tablet of Medicine by Baha'u'llah, who's the Prophet Thomas of Baha'i Faith, and share with you what I wrote just yesterday.
Sure. I've been in media a lot since last May, so lots of thousands and thousands of people have got my email, so I'll share it with you too. And I'll just go ahead and throw this out there. There's a lot of disinformation and misinformation and ill-advised advice around COVID-19, just like there was terrible protocols that were given to me for my children, for my sister. So I've given out my email. I'll give it to you. It's docdoc@ardislabs.com. So docdoc@ardislabs.com. And if you email me there, I'm sending everyone who's been emailing me all of my 67-page COVID-19 documentations that are both from the CDC, the FDA, the NIH, the research on remdesivir, which is the drug that's actually killing the majority of all COVID-19 cases in America. It's why we have the numbers we do. They're actually poisoning people to death, and they knew it before they started treating them with this drug. We also go into the documentation on the FDA. The FDA knew that the COVID-19 shots were going to cause 110 diseases, including deaths and miscarriages. And there's an internal document they actually reviewed that I have a copy of 2 months before the shots ever came out. And now you're seeing hundreds of thousands of these reported, these side effects that they knew that were coming. So if anybody in this audience emails me, you're going to get an automatic reply with I'm going to send it physically, a 67-page document, vaccine liability forms. You're going to actually put liability, anyone telling you need to get these shots. I have a blank form for you to give them that gives them all responsibility on behalf of you or your loved ones for any damage or trauma they cause. And then you've got my disease prevention cocktail will come also. But send me anything you'd like, docalabs.com. Also, if you don't want to email me, you can get all the same documentation and stuff. Go to thedrartistshow.com, thedrartistshow, thedrartistshow.com, and just put in your email. That will subscribe you to my show and then send you automatically all of our documents also. But you now have access to my email, docalabs.com.
Do you know Health Ranger Mike Adams? He's in Texas. Mike Adams, do you know him?
NaturalNews.com.
I do. Just so you know, Mike Adams is starting his own online TV platform. It's called Brighteon TV. It's going to be live every day, Monday through Friday.
Really?
12 hours live, and it's going to be launched August 24th. Mike Adams has asked me every Wednesday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, to come on Brighteon.
email address as well.
And I will actually have the Dr. Artist Show. My Dr. Artist Show will be live on Friday on TV, Mike Adams' new platform, starting August 24th, every Wednesday morning. Mike Adams will actually, he has the show time frame right after mine, so I'll be right before his on Wednesdays.
I'm glad you know Mike Adams. He's the best.
Yeah, and okay, so
you know Mike Adams. He's the best.
Thank you, thank you, brother, for that. And so, Dr. Bryan, I'd like to ask you about turpentine. Are you familiar with using turpentine to kill parasites?
I've never had to use it, but I am aware that some people try to use that. But, yes, I've never used it to clear parasites from anybody. There's a lot of things you can use and are suggested, but I have a list of things that are very effective.
How long do you think you should be on a parasite cleaning program, whatever you're using?
Just so you know, 90% of all human beings on the planet have parasites and are reinfected with parasites your entire life. So for me, I actually believe if you're going to do a parasite treatment protocol, if you've never done one before, just so you know, most parasitologists around the world agree 90% of all humans on the planet have parasites. If you have pets, dogs, cats, ferrets, if you have these domesticated pets, parasitologists, almost all of them will say 100% of you pet owners have parasites and you don't even know it. So for individuals with pets that you're loving on, kissing on, you for sure have parasites and you're getting re-exposed all the time. So if you're treating yourself for the first time for parasites, at a minimum, it's probably going to be about 6 months, anywhere between 3 to 6 months of consistent treatment to clear them up. I do, with my family and with my kids, every month, a preventative dose of cocktails of antiparasitics, just preventatively. So if we've picked up anything in the last month, we take a dose one day, actually, of just a cocktail of things to help kill off parasites or shed parasites. But I don't think treating parasites is a one-time-and-done thing. You're going to be re-exposed. And I just want to throw this out there. We already can confirm, and I will tell you from my clinical experience, and with parasitologists like Dr. Omar Amin, who's in Arizona. He's got what's called the Parasite Center Institute or Incorporated. It's called PCI. If you go to parasitetesting.com, parasite is singular, parasitetesting.com. That's his website. This guy is like the most brilliant Egyptian I've ever met. He's in his probably 70s. He's a 30-year parasitologist. He has 5 PhDs. He has the most comprehensive parasite, bacteria, and fungal testing lab in North America. And that's where I refer all people to get their initial review of a stool sample to determine what parasites they have to begin with and then how we want to start treatment and do follow-up. So parasitetesting.com. 77% of all chronic diseases in this country, 77% of all diseases in this country have a parasite implication. So if you're living with chronic heart disease, diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, fibro, Sjogren's, it doesn't matter, polycystic ovarian disease, hypothyroidism, you keep going, any gastrointestinal issue. No one has ulcerative colitis. No one has Crohn's disease. Nobody has celiacs. No one has irritable bowels. All of you have parasites. And if you want to reverse your food allergies, your food sensitivities, you have parasites. You should go to parasitetesting.com, click the test tab. The first test that comes up is called the full GI panel and bacterial swab. You order that kit at checkout, put in my discount code for all my audiences. It is ARDIS7! They've agreed to give 7% off of anything you purchase through PCI's website, parasitetesting.com. At checkout, just put in ARDIS7! It's going to save you 7% on all their stuff. I have done so much work and do so much audience presentations and lectures that these people need to know there's a real answer to the health problems, and they need to first evaluate, is there possibly a living infection in their body that medical doctors have never looked for? If you've got Lyme's disease, you better do this test. It costs $250 if you use the code. But this one test, within 2 to 3 weeks, you will have a list of every known infection inside your body causing your symptoms. And then Dr. Amen and PCI will actually provide you a report of where your infection comes from, how you continue to get reinfected with it, and then what you should do to start clearing it. So these are just incredible tools for you to know about that you should have at your disposal. It's an incredible resource for everyone living in this country or around the world even. They've
okay.
got a UK lab also. But
I have a question for how do you treat kids for that? I have 2 grandchildren, 5 and 7. I swear they got parasites. They're always hungry. I mean, it's just nonsense. I'm hungry, I'm hungry. And I'm like, they got, and they have a dog in the house. They've had a dog in the house since they were born. And they've never been treated for parasites. And I keep telling their dad, I think they might have parasites. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they eat a lot of crappy food because they're not in my house. If they were in my house, it would. But when they're with grandma, they eat good, but I don't have them all the time. How can you treat kids with parasites?
So there's plenty of Chinese herbs that are actually very powerfully anti-parasitic. You mentioned turpentine. I never had to use that. You can use wormwood. Wormwood is an incredible anti-parasitic.
Mm-hmm.
It comes in dietary supplements of like liquid extracts or herbal extracts.
I have one.
Capsules.
I have one, yeah.
So wormwood is great. It's actual, if you can't find wormwood, look up artemisinin, which is the actual plant they get wormwood from. But anyway, artemisinin, artemisinin, artemisinin. That's a very powerful antiparasitic. You mentioned earlier, you want to know what I do with all my kids and my family preventatively now?
Yes.
We actually use ivermectin every month with wormwood.
Oh.
And we've been doing that for 7 years.
What? Ivermectin for 7 years?
Yeah, we just do one dose every month.
But it's too dangerous, Dr. Brian. Haven't you heard the CDC and whoever else tell you it's too dangerous? Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that amazing? Ivermectin is so dangerous. It was given the Nobel Prize in 2015 for being safely given. 4 billion doses have been given out in the last 20 years.
You give that to your children?
Zero deaths.
And do you give it to your young children?
I do.
Really?
I actually give them liquid ivermectin. I give them 1 cc and I shoot it in water and have them drink it.
Along with the wormwood?
Yep, along with the wormwood supplements. And my kids and I do not like the liquid extract of wormwood. We actually use MediHerb, MediHerb, MediHerb's version. They're out of Australia. It's an organic herb farm. They make tablets of wormwood or artemisinin complex. Same plant, just a little different herbs added to them.
Do you sell that, any of that on your website or any place?
No, I don't have any. Once I sold my practice in 2018, I don't have the accounts with Standard Process or MediHerb anymore, so I don't have an affiliation with those.
But
I still use them.
Okay, MediHerb, MediHerb.
Yep, MediHerb, MediHerb.
So you can put, do you hide that in juice for the kids or something?
Ivermectin?
No, whatever you're treating them, ivermectin and wormwood for parasites?
Artemisinin and wormwood are tablets. They can just swallow those. Ivermectin, you can put in anything. Shoot it in water, juice, whatever, and let them drink it.
Okay, so my grandchildren are 5 and 7. They won't take too many things that don't taste sweet or, you know, good. So I'll just put I know you can get liquid wormwood.
You get liquid wormwood,
and then
put that in juice and have them drink it.
And then ivermectin, you can get that in a liquid, you say?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
It comes in a liquid. Oh, yeah.
Where do you order that? Is it Frontline Doctors or something like that?
No, Frontline Doctors, AFLDS.org. Uh-huh. They actually can write you prescriptions for tablets.
Right.
They probably won't give you a liquid version.
Right.
Even though hospitals have the liquid versions that they can do intravenously, right? There are liquid versions.
Wow.
They will write you tablet versions of 12 milligrams or 24 milligrams.
Right.
AFLDS.org. Also, FLCCC.net. FLCCC.net. They will help you. They have a list of every state. Clinics, doctors who will actually write the prescriptions for you. And if you can't find somebody in your state or country, they have a country directory They have a statewide directory, and they themselves at flccc.net can actually, through telemedicine, get you your own prescriptions. Also, myfreedoctor.com. There's 20 medical doctors, all licensed in all 50 states. Myfreedoctor.com was founded by Dr. Ben Marble, Nobel Peace Prize nominee, MD. He also has Peter McCullough on the team, who's America's heart doctor. They also have Zev Zelenko out of New York is on that team. These individuals have attorneys, their MDs, that can write via telemedicine for free. Any prescriptions for ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine that you need. They think that every American should have these preventatively at home. This is a resource for you to get them. They've asked me to be a part of their team, even though I don't prescribe drugs. They just have seen me in the media and asked me to be on their team as a champion for MyFreeDoctor.com. They serve 1,000 people in America every day via telemedicine.
So ivermectin liquid, you can get through those sources, or where's the ivermectin liquid source?
This is actually, you don't have to get ivermectin in tablet form from a pharmacy. The same ivermectin is used with animals. For every animal that we consume in this country, every rancher, every farmer has to treat their animals with ivermectin, and it's no different than what is in your tablet form. So I actually go to a feed store in Frisco, Texas, right down the street from my office, and I've used it for years with patients. I just send them down there to the feed store, ask for liquid ivermectin, get a syringe, and extract 1 cc for every 110 pounds you are into water and drink it. Now, there's a lot to parasites. So individuals doing this, I just need to tell you. Parasites, your body does not make antibodies to kill them. This is why people live for chronic symptoms for years. The body makes white blood cells called T cells that can kill influenza virus, coronavirus, bacteria, cancer cells, but your body doesn't make antibodies to kill parasites. They can continue to thrive. You have to use either herbs, like I mentioned, wormwood and artemisinin. Either you have to use herbs like this to kill them, or you're going to use drugs like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin to kill them. There's also a drug called fenbendazole that helps to rupture the parasite eggs in the body. They use that in all animals and in humans to actually rupture the eggs so that ivermectin can kill the worms inside. So when you're doing a parasite cleanse, I just need to make sure you're all aware, all parasites lay eggs in your body once they're there. If you've had chronic illness, 77% of you have all these illnesses and symptoms solely because of parasites, including type 2 diabetes or juvenile diabetes. These can be caused by parasites damaging your pancreas. So when you go to start killing these off, they could have been in your body for years. Some parasites lay 100,000 to 250,000 eggs a day in your body. And the mother worms inside your body release an enzyme that keeps those eggs from hatching because they will become competitors for food of the host, which is you. So parasites release these enzymes that keep them from hatching. So when I tell you this, this is very important. When I take dosages and give dosages to my kids and my wife every month preventatively, we just have to do a one-day dose. Because we've already done a parasite cleanse previously to try to eliminate as many of the eggs as possible. So when you start taking either ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, I would recommend ivermectin over hydroxychloroquine for parasites, by the way. If you're going to use ivermectin or you're going to use wormwood or artemisinin or any other list of
Clove?
Oh, yeah. Dandelion root extract is a great anti-parasitic. Clove is great. So I just need you to know that when you start using these, you have to do this or else you'll stay sick forever. You have to do a period of cycling products to kill parasites and then cycle off of them, then cycle back on them. And I'll give you a regimen I used in practice for years. It was 5 days of taking anti-parasitic medication or herbs. 5 days, you took them. 4 days, you don't. And then for 5 days after, you do it again. You cycle this over and over and over for 3 to 4 or 5 months if you need to. 5 days of taking the anti-parasitics. 4 days, you don't. And the reason for that is, not only do the mother worms release, or the adult worms release these enzymes that keep the eggs from hatching, but the eggs of the parasites know if there's something toxic in the environment, they're not going to hatch themselves either. So you kill off the mother adult host worms that are laying all the eggs. You kill them off with your dandelion root, kill them off with your wormwood, your artemisinin, your ivermectin, kill them off for 5 days, then you stop it. You let your body get rid of the ivermectin, get rid of the wormwood over a four-day period, and let the eggs start to hatch. If you just stayed on turpentine every day, like if you just took it every day, the eggs never hatch.
Wow.
They just sit there. And you're going to stay inflamed and sick because your body knows they're there.
Wow.
So you have to cycle on and off of these. So when I say it takes 3 to 6 months to typically get rid of all parasites, this is why you have to cycle on and off. You have to let the eggs hatch, kill them, hatch, kill them, hatch, kill them. And you just got to keep cycling these for a 3 to 6 month period.
Wow.
Once you've gone through that period, then you can actually do a preventative measure. You can do it either monthly or weekly. But I'll just tell you now, you've heard such bad stuff about ivermectin in the mass media. Ivermectin is completely safe. There are medical doctors that will tell you 12 milligrams a day. It might just be beneficial to do that for the rest of your life every day. That's how safe ivermectin is. So 12 milligrams is half the dose that FLCCC.net and AFLDS.org are recommending to beat COVID. That's 24 milligrams a day. They're suggesting even prophylactically and preventatively to do 12 milligrams every day for life. So it's very safe. But I've, for the last 7 years, I've done it with my family and all my kids. I take the liquid extract of ivermectin, we get it at the feed store, tractor store, shoot it into water and have them drink it. And it's been plenty, along with our wormwood that we do.
Wow.
Have you learned anything?
Huh? Are you kidding? This you're a professor. This last 2 hours, you're the university professor. I'm taking notes like crazy. There's so many things here that we can talk about, and we're just about ready to wrap it up. So I'm wondering if anybody's in the studio. You only have a few minutes to ask questions, because I'm sure Dr. Artis has other things he could do. So as far as prevention, there's so many things going on right now with the lawsuits. I actually saw your name mentioned. You were talking with Dr. Fulmer in Germany. There's a lawsuit going on. Can you give us a little summary of that? Were you talking to the attorneys who are working on this? And where is it? And can we have hope in that?
Yeah, so there's what's called the German Corona Committee Foundation, and Dr. Rainier Fulmick is the head of this. He's out in Germany, but he's got a group of 1,000 attorneys in Europe and 10,000 medical doctors who have signed on to file a lawsuit against the World Health Organization for crimes against humanity during COVID. And they actually saw me in the media and reached out to me directly about 3 weeks ago to be a part of a four-hour committee meeting where they wanted me to testify and share kind of like a deposition interview. They wanted all the documentation I had been presenting on Anthony Fauci's crimes, which was, the first one was allowing remdesivir to be used as the treatment for COVID. Dr. Rainier, he's a lawyer. He had never heard anybody ever talk about the deaths caused by remdesivir. I was the one in May 2020. As soon as I saw he released that as the mandate on the National Institutes of Health's website, I knew that this was going to be what was killing everybody that was being reported in New York. Remdesivir was known and has never been FDA approved before the pandemic because it was not proven safe or effective for anything. It had only been found in 2 studies to cause more death than all the other experimental drugs and was pulled from the Ebola virus study. And Anthony Fauci was quoting that this study was determined and founded to provide evidence for this to be efficacious against this virus. No, it didn't. It was proven to kill 53% of all people they gave it to. That's why the safety board pulled it from the study, but nobody had clicked the study Anthony Fauci was quoting, which is the New England Journal of Medicine's website. All you had to do is go look at it. I just happened to be the only one to go look at it. And then I immediately went into the media to tell everybody this was Anthony Fauci's attempt to exaggerate COVID-19 death numbers because this drug was going to kill people. It was proven in 30% of all people to cause multiple organ failure and acute kidney failure, which is exactly what all the doctors in New York were quoting in May that they were seeing in all the COVID-19 treated patients. They were saying, we've never seen a virus attack kidneys like this. We need not only ventilators, we need dialysis machines. And I knew immediately, it wasn't the virus. This is what was confusing to the doctors. It was this new mandated drug that Anthony Fauci was stating was the only drug to treat COVID-19 patients. It literally was killing people by shutting down their kidneys, making their lungs fill with water, and they were killing them or murdering them with remdesivir. They're still doing it today. So as a part of this lawsuit against the World Health Organization, they're also going after the CDC, the NIH, they're going after Anthony Fauci, they're going after the Department of Health and Human Services. We're going after all of them. So they wanted all of my documentation. Of a four-hour committee hearing, I was asked to speak for an hour and a half on everything I knew about the FDA's cover-up of 110 diseases that they knew were going to be caused by these shots, the death side effects they knew about these shots before they ever put them into the distribution. Just so you know, your audience needs to know, we live in a society in America for decades where we've been raised to trust an FDA approval process or an FDA review of all drugs, vaccines, and medical devices before we ever allow them to use them on us. And for the first time in my lifetime, they have actually mandated a non-approved FDA drug as the only treatment for COVID. And then they used a non-FDA approved vaccine as the fix globally. So all of a sudden we're supposed to go, okay, we're not going to trust an FDA review process or any long-term studies to determine what's safe anymore. We're just going to allow health agencies to just inflict harm without FDA reviewed products. To me, it's just disgusting. Doesn't even make common sense. It's like me being told some babies are just born picky. To me, it's that asinine and ridiculous. So there's a attempt, a global evil attempt to destroy the lives of millions. And I have been as much as possible in the media to actually expose the lies, the corruptness, and the side effects that are horrific. So it's no different than the side effects that were going to kill my sister from the drugs they were wanting to push. The pharmaceutical industry only creates chemicals that are unnatural and toxic to the human body. So remdesivir, toxic, proven.
We've got it. Thank you so much. We got a couple of callers. We're going to try and get them in before the show is over. We might go over today, but 321, let's see, 368. Do you have a question or comment for Dr. Brian?
Yes, it's me again.
Okay.
And this comment is for Dr. Brian. Yeah, Dr. Brian, I know listening. You know, what he was telling when he was speaking about Dallas and everything, I was just brought back because I was recruited by the Dallas school district when I was in Detroit to come to Texas. I never thought I would come to Texas. I never had a desire to live in Texas. I never thought that I would ever have a desire. But I learned to really love Texas when I was there because a lot of things happened when I was there. That's where I met my second wife, and that's where I came into an awareness of chiropractic. I had heard bad stuff about chiropractic all my life. And while I was in Dallas, I had been in various wrecks, and so I had whiplash. I had a terrible case of whiplash where I had whiplash a number of times, but I never had went to the doctor to get it checked out or anything. But I was reading a pamphlet one day, a magazine, and they had a listing of different things. They said, if you're suffering from any of these, and they had about 20 things listed. As I looked at those lists, I was like, man, I'm about 15 out of the 20, if not more. And they said, you need chiropractic. So I'm thinking about all the bad stuff I heard about chiropractic, but then I'm thinking about, hey, what do I have to lose? This thing is saying if I have these symptoms, and I used to have to, when I would come home from work, from school, my neck was so bad, my spine and so forth, I would have to lay down. I couldn't come home and eat or whatever or do other things. When I would come home, my head would be, it seemed like my head was too heavy for my neck to hold up, and I'd be so tired neck-wise, so I would have to rest my neck before I could go on with other activities at home once I got off from work.
You know what? you off, but I've got, do you have a question? Because I've got two more people I want to get in before the show has
okay.
to go off.
All right. Well, then, okay, that I can tell, give that testimony later. But, okay, bring the other person on.
Okay, did you have a question for him?
No, I didn't have a question. I was just sharing some stuff. But I wanted to say this to everybody. I was saying that chiropractic, I learned how the value of chiropractic, and right now, I get at least once a month.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Mikhail. That's so important because so many people are afraid to try chiropractic for whatever reason, but you've given us all kinds of reasons. 312-823, you have a question for Dr. Brian or a comment?
Yes, I have a question. I need to know if you don't have a spleen, is there some type of prevention from getting sick that can be utilized through his method?
Did you hear that?
If you don't have a spleen,
right.
Is that right?
Yes. What can she do to prevent sickness? Is that your question?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay, so you have thousands of lymph nodes in your body, including your tonsils, your spleen. There's chains of lymph nodes around every muscle in your body. So you have tons of lymph nodes still, even without your spleen, although it's not as effective without the spleen. But you definitely have lymph nodes all throughout your body. And without having the spleen, you're going to want to improve your lymphatic flow. I don't know if you know this, but you have so many pints of blood in your body. Everybody does. Men have more than women, like 3 pints. But the human body has 4 times more lymph in the body than you do blood. The lymph system is the most understudied medical part of the human body ever. They totally ignore it, but this is how your body cleanses itself, detoxes itself, and fights infections. So you have thousands of lymph nodes still, and you have almost a gallon or more, probably more, lymph in your body. The goal is movement and motion is what pumps your lymph. You don't have a heart for your lymph system. Heart is what pumps your blood system, so it circulates it. The only thing that moves lymph is your joints. This is why your joints hurt when your lymph swells. This is why people live with joint pain. Exactly. Motion is what I say to people. So rebounding, grounding, rolling, all the stuff that we were doing here earlier. Motion is life for the lymph system, but you also need to be taking things to improve lymph flow. And I will tell you right now, if you have any holistic practitioners in your life, you should have some that are local to you. There's a German company called Marka Pharm, and Marka Pharm, it's MarkaPharm. There's a product they make called Lymphanest. I actually was the largest account for this company in practice. Nothing I found in life was more effective at thinning and moving lymph than this product called Lymphanest. So to help detox, remove sinus infections, allergies, you name it. Lymphanest is a phenomenal product, and you should ask any chiropractor, healthcare practitioner to have a Marka Pharm account and purchase Lymphanest.
All right. Thank you. And I go one more time. I don't know if Mama AZ, did you have another question or comment before we go? I see your light. Were you done, or did you have another question?
No. I'm just grateful, Dr. Z. Please get in touch with me after the show. It's very, very important. I got a lot of downloads from this show. Thank you, Doctor. I appreciate you. Peace.
Okay, so Dr. Brian, any final words for us as we navigate through Plandemic Part 2? And we're going into we're ending up the summer months with a lot of propaganda. And what is your advice for helping people survive this next chapter of lies, deception, and twilight zone, I call it?
Yeah, so there's a lot of lies, mostly lies and deception and evil corruptness behind everything you're hearing in the media. So I actually offered my email earlier and my show earlier. There's what's called the disease prevention cocktail. My first thing would be, you just need to know, my goal, as you've heard from my story from the beginning with my sister, with my son, it's all about finding answers to provide hope to people. where most people have lost hope. And it is odd that for the last year and a half, there's been this huge attempt to wipe out all hope, happiness, joy in life, and just replace it with fear. I'm just going to tell you my belief system. I believe God created us. I believe there's an evil side of light, this darkness, and I believe that that's the father of all fear. And those who succumb to the fear, you're being driven into fear by a greed of men and some evil spirit. So try to stay outside of fear. Don't even listen to it. Try to turn off the TV and the radio. Don't listen to it. It's all a bunch of lies anyway. The agenda is to try to get you to take their experimental shot, their vaccines. They're trying to control the world this way, sterilize the world, infertilize the world, or kill you. And that's really, truly what the actual agenda is. So there is a way to prevent the trauma that's going to come to those who are vaccinated, those who are unvaccinated. This has been what I've been in the media for. They've known that these were going to hurt you and your loved ones, and that those who didn't get the shot were also going to be injured by those who got the shot. It's called shedding or transmission. So everybody needs to be taking this COVID-19 disease prevention cocktail that I put together. And if you want it, send it to everybody you can think of. It's just a four-piece nutritional protocol that's proven to actually protect every cell of your body from being damaged from a spike protein, from a virus, from a poison, from radiation. It's just four simple things everybody should be doing every day for now until the foreseeable future. But just don't buy into the fear mongering. It's been awful to witness, but it's created a lot of mass confusion and upset. And life needs to try to return back to normal. And anybody's going to try to force you to do something you feel in your gut or in your spirit is not good for you, you have every right to say no. And you just can't forget that. This is your one time to live in this body on this planet. You have every right to protect that temple that you're in.
So you said we can get that four-step program by emailing you?
Yep, or going to the drartistshow.com and putting in your email, it'll automatically be sent. But yes, if you email me, you will have it within 24 hours. I'll personally send it.
Okay, so everybody got that. Send a email, doc@artistlabs.com, or is it drartistshow.com?
drartistshow.com, right, exactly.
Yes. Oh, thank you.
Stay tuned there, because over the next 3 months, I'll be speaking at like six different engagements, which will be streamed live to millions of people around the world. So I'll be talking on those principles, the things that we've uncovered over the last year and a half in relationship to this pandemic. Just stay tuned. If you want to go to the drartistshow.com and just subscribe to the show by putting in your email, you're going to be up to date on everything that I'm actually doing. So we'll be speaking in Grand Rapids, Michigan next week. We'll be in San Antonio in November. We'll be in Colorado in October. But we'll be at Bard's Fest, which is in Missouri at the end of August. There's going to be 30,000 people at that event. So, but it'll be streamed live also to millions. So,
and then you're going to be on BrideanTV.com every Wednesday from 10 to 11. Is that right?
Yes. And then every Wednesday night also. So Wednesday night, 10 o'clock Eastern time. I'm also having a new show. I've been asked to create a new show on the Steel Truth platform with Ann Vandersteel and her producer, Liz. They've interviewed me a few times in the media and have actually created what's called Healing Intel with Dr. Artist every Wednesday night at 10 o'clock. And that's at steeltruth.com.
Steel Truth, is that S-T-E-A-L or S-T-E-E-L?
Steel like the metal, S-T-E-E-L.
Truth.com. Okay, we got one more caller, 773-977. You're the last caller. You have a question for Dr. Artist?
Yes. This is Lois here in Chicago. Thank you so much. Good morning to everyone. And Doctor, I just like to know, I remember when my mother would give me 3 drops of turpentine with a teaspoon of sugar. Do you feel that the product that you named earlier would be a better product to buy for that parasite?
I do, and I'm not sure about the sugar other than the fact that parasites eat sugar. I'm not sure if maybe they're trying to draw them out with sugar. Every time I had someone start an anti-parasitic protocol, I made them restrict sugar because the parasites are going to leave if you stop feeding them. So they have to try to leave your host to go somewhere else. So I personally do not recommend sugar when you're doing a parasite cleanse or combining it with turpentine or with pine needle or with dandelion root or with ivermectin. I would never suggest sugar. Sugar is inflammatory, and it also produces more blood glucose, which is one of the things parasites thrive off of.
Thank you. Thank you, Lois. Oh, we so appreciate you, Dr. Brian. I'm so grateful, first of all, to the Most High for connecting us, because you are all about synchronicity and recognizing circumstances that are guiding you to do something different. So I'm so glad you're listening to a higher voice, and bless all your family. I think it was your wife who's been communicating with me. She has been just amazing to keep in touch with me and get this going. So you've got a good support system, it sounds like, there. And I'm going to be following you and watching you. I was going to say maybe we could have you back, but I think we just need to stay in touch with all these outlets. Do you have a clinic? You don't have a clinic anymore?
So the North Texas Healing Center, for those of you who actually want someone to actually take you through a parasite cleanse, I sold my practice to three doctors I had working for me here in Frisco.
Mm-hmm.
My agreement is I will consult them while I go off and actually educate the world
right.
on how to improve your health.
Right.
So NorthTexasHealingCenter.com, NorthTexasHealingCenter.com. It's Dr. Tregalis, Dale Roper. If you believe you have parasites and you want somebody to take you through it, if you get the parasitetesting.com, you can buy those kits there. You do that. Use our Artist7 exclamation point. Dale Roper or Dr. T can take you through the whole parasite cleansing protocol, and they can do the follow-ups with you via telemedicine. You do not have to come to the clinic. Their phone number is 214-705-9369. But it's NorthTexasHealingCenter.com. That clinic I sold, I can go off and educate you and ask someone what we've been doing in practice for 20 years. And I told them the goal is to put you in a position where you can help people, thousands of more people, not millions. So that clinic is there to help me here when I'm off doing events, lecturing, researching, putting it in my presentation. I have an agreement to consult them. I hear from them weekly. And if they've got any issues over the phone, they don't.
Yes, absolutely. Go. My prayers are going to be with you, as well as all those attorneys filing lawsuits. And Dr. Fauci is out of here. That's our goal, is to get him and the whole, as far as I'm concerned, the whole Biden administration. Can somebody send Biden a memo of all this? I'm going to send him this show, maybe. It'll wake him up. No, probably won't. Anyway, I won't waste my time. Thank you so much, Dr. Brian. I just love you for all that you're doing. And you will forever be in my prayers, because you're one of those people who is promoting the truth and the unity and the wisdom that we so need right now. So blessings to you and your family. And take good care. I know you will. And we just so appreciate all that you've shared with us today. So I love you, and much protection over you as always. So have a great day. And
I feel the prayers, and I appreciate them all.
Thank you. All right. Be blessed. So we're going to play our global ending, and we say, everybody say goodbye to
Egypt.
Dr. Curtis.
Shukran.
We
Ghana.
Can say goodbye to our global
family
right now.
Nigeria.
Africa.
Nyabonga.
Nyabonga.
Senegal. Geret.
Geret.
Kenya.
Asante.
Israel. Toda. Pakistan. Shukriya. Afghanistan. Tashakur. Saudi Arabia. Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you.
Love you all.
And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God. And
I need to give you a big hug. Love you. Take care. Wow, that was amazing. All right, everybody, have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow morning tomorrow at noon on The Female Solution. Have a great day. And please share this show. This is so much good information on here. You need to share it.